All right. Well, last night, those of you who are here, we identified what the Bible refers to as the beast power, the Antichrist power. And we learned that there truly is hope through prophecy. Contrary to popular belief, prophecy is not bad news. Prophecy doesn't have to be doom and gloom, but we know that there is hope through prophecy, and that hope is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. So as we delve into today's topic, we are going to look at one of the most critical topics in the last day, an end time deception. As we will see, there has been an attack on God's character. There has been an attack on God's law. And as we look at this topic, we're looking at a great deception, history's great deception. We're looking at the change of God's Sabbath day. All right, so as we begin, I want to talk a little bit about some different theories throughout history that have been very popular, but they've been wrong. Okay, for example, did you know that based on looking back at the studies of Aristotle, that they taught a spider had six legs way back in like 400, 500 BC? For about 23 centuries, they taught that spiders had six legs. Do spiders have six legs? No. Somebody finally decided to count, and they discovered that spiders have eight legs. Okay, following the crowd is not always wise. We have other examples. There was a medical process known as bloodletting. And what happened with bloodletting, in fact, George Washington had this done. He had a common cold, and they would drain almost 2 quarts of blood out of your body, right, to get rid of that bad blood, right? And he almost died. All right, not a good idea. Don't go home and do that. But it was a common practice. Following the crowd is not always wise. We have examples such as the teaching. There's a guy named Galileo who followed the teachings of Nicholas Copernicus, and he was bold enough to say that we have a sun-centered solar system. Or is that true? Do we have some children here that take earth science class? I think the adults should know, yes, the sun is the center of our solar system. But he was actually called a heretic. The Inquisition in the 1600s deemed him a heretic for teaching something so crazy that the sun is the center of our universe. They believed it was the earth. Okay? The truth is not always popular, and following the crowd is not always wise. All right, so we're going to dive in, and as we look, we can see that a popular misconception has even crept into God's church. We're going to look at that today. We're going to go to God's Word, go to the Bible, to see not necessarily what's popular, but what is true. All right, so moving forward, history's great deception, we will dive right in. So before we look at some of these questions to really identify what is the truth about God's Sabbath, there's a misconception I want to briefly clear up. It's something popular in the Christian world, the idea that the Sabbath was just for the Jews. All right, has anyone heard that before? Okay, well, let's see what the Bible says, if that is true or not. The words of Jesus himself clarify who the Sabbath was made for, and we can read of it here. And he said unto them, speaking to his disciples, his followers, his listeners, the Sabbath was made for who? For man, and not man for the Sabbath. So we can see that Sabbath was made for all mankind, not just a particular group of people. It's made for you and I, people of all backgrounds. And when was it made for man? Was it made when Abraham started, you know, became kind of the father of the Jews, or was it before that? The Bible tells us, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, friends, when is this taking place? This verse right here. way back at the creation account, back in Genesis. And that is when God sanctified, and to sanctify something means to make it holy. And that took place way back at the beginning of this earth's history, back on the seventh day of creation. Well, after the sixth day, the seventh day, God rested. All right. So it was back in that Garden of Eden, in that beautiful Edenic paradise, that God instituted the Sabbath for all mankind, not just the Jews or any particular group of people. So what is the Sabbath a sign of? A lot of people dismiss the Sabbath because they fail to see its significance in salvation. But the Sabbath is very symbolic. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, something very interesting is that, do you know there's one major aspect that makes God worthy of our worship? Does anybody know what that is? The fact that he is the creator. No other being in the universe, not even Satan, can create life. God is our creator, and that distinguishes him from all the other false idols, false gods. He is the creator. And so that makes him worthy to be worshiped. The Sabbath is a sign that God is our creator. "And hallow my Sabbaths. They shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." So here we see that the Sabbath is a sign not only that God is our creator, but that he is our God. They're very significant to the plan of salvation. The Sabbath is a seal. It's a sign, again, that God is our creator and our God. So exactly when is the Bible Sabbath? This is a clarifying point. A lot of you already know when the Sabbath is because you're here today. Today's the Sabbath. Did it start this morning? No, we know that the Sabbath, according to the Bible, a day goes from sunset to sunset. So specifically, the Sabbath goes from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Okay, and that's really what a day is in the Bible, from sunset to sunset. And it's interesting because as we look around the world, we can see that the day, the name for the seventh day of the week, is actually some variation of the word Sabbath. And so here we have some examples. In fact, over 100 languages in the world, the word for the seventh day of the week is Sabbath or something related. You know, we have Spanish, of course, is Sábado, and you see some of the examples right there. All right, so the Word of God is very clear that the Bible is very clear that the Sabbath is anchored in God's truth. It's a sign that he is our creator, he is our God. It supports the teaching of the Sabbath. And so we're going to see now, why do so many people not keep the Sabbath? Why is that? And so we're going to try to answer some questions. First, we're going to look in the Old Testament. And if there was a change of the Sabbath, because as you know, many people do not honor God's seventh-day Sabbath. And so we're going to ask, did God change the Sabbath? We're going to go to the Old Testament. Then we're going to look at, did Jesus change the Sabbath? What about after Jesus died? Did the apostles change the Sabbath? Well, right in the middle of God's Ten Commandment law, written in stone, is we see the fourth commandment about the Sabbath. And so here it is. This is a summary. It's not the whole thing, but part of that commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, written in stone, spoken by God's own mouth, written by God's own finger, right in his holy law. And so right away, we see a firm foundation for the Sabbath. And speaking of that law, which God spoke and wrote, the Bible says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." Such an interesting verse because there's not many places of the Bible that God spoke verbatim. A lot of times he reveals his will through the prophets and they kind of put it in their own words, but it's still inspired directly from God. The Ten Commandments is unique in that. that it's specifically God's words written with his own finger. He didn't want anybody to have any uncertainty. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And so the commandments are really an evidence or proof that we know God, because we are following his standard of character. In fact, the Bible says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, that all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Now that verse is interesting, because we see not only will the Sabbath be kept on earth, but even in the glories of heaven. Imagine what Sabbath will be like in heaven, coming before God's throne. My hope is that I will be there with all of you, and that we'll be in that holy city worshiping before the throne of God. Okay, so we've seen that God didn't change the Sabbath. God the Father, it's anchored in his law. It's found, strong in the Old Testament. But what about the New Testament? If there was a change, I would think that Jesus would be very clear that there was a change. And so we're going to look at some things that Jesus said about the law, about the Sabbath. He says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass," has heaven and earth passed? No. "One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." So very strong words by Jesus that we are to keep his law and we are not to teach others not to. In fact, the rest, it goes on to say, "Whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And so the words of Jesus are saying the law is still standing. It's not going anywhere. And so as we look at the cross, as we look on Mount Calvary, I believe we see the greatest evidence that God's law can never be changed. You see, as we look on that cross, we can see it has been said that mercy and justice kissed each other. In fact, as we see the cross in the light of God's love, we can see God's justice, that even his son, Jesus Christ, could not be, he also paid the penalty for the breaking of the law of God, because sin is breaking God's law. Even Jesus had to pay that price when he took his sins upon us. So if God would have changed his law, he could have done it then, but he didn't. But we also see God's mercy. As we look back at that illustration, we see God's mercy, that while his law can never change, we see his mercy that he sent his own son to pay the price for that broken law. And Jesus goes on to say, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus' practice while here on earth was to obey his Father's commandments, to be obedient to them. We're going to look on here. Okay, so, you know, Jesus, because we're going to transition now to looking at after Jesus, because some people make the case that, well, when Jesus died on the cross, he nailed the law to the cross, nailed the commandments to the cross. Now, can you nail stone? Can you nail stone? No, you can't nail stone. It would break apart. But besides that, we have plenty of evidence in the Bible that the Ten Commandments were not nailed to the cross. In fact, looking into the future, going back to the previous, we can see that Jesus prophesied several years after his death in A.D. 70 that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And in regards to that, he made a very interesting statement about the Sabbath. And we're going to look at that now. The Bible says, "But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." And so from this verse, we can see that Jesus was expecting his followers to be keeping the Sabbath holy even after his death. And so we can be certain, not only did God the Father not change the Sabbath, Jesus did not change it. In fact, he expected his people to be keeping it after his death. And he says even more. He says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven," as we have seen. And so now we're going to take a closer look, looking into the New Testament after the time of Jesus. And we've seen that he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We're going to look at now his followers. You know, I don't want to tell you a little bit of my background, a little bit of my history as we move on. I didn't always understand the truth about the Sabbath. When I grew up, we went to church on Sunday. I had a good, loving Christian home, and that was all we knew, is we went to church on Sunday. And when I was about 19 years old, I realized that I could be any man that I wanted to be. I could go out and get as much, you know, do as much sin as I wanted. But I said to myself, I need to make a decision for myself about God, because I don't want to give up on these pleasures of the world for something that is a fairy tale, for something that is not true. That's how I thought as a 19-year-old. And so I thought to myself, I better decide if God is real, if the Bible is true. We can look at the next slide as we say that. And I started to pray. I started to talk to the people that I loved. I started to, my mother, my friends, I said, "Listen, this is where I'm at. Please pray for me. And if you have any evidence for me to consider, let me know." And I didn't have all my questions answered, but I had enough evidence to see that the weight of the evidence is on the side of God being real, of the Bible being true. And as a young 19-year-old man, I thought, I would be the greatest fool on earth to gamble with my eternity. And so I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to follow the Bible. I'm going to put all my cards on that side of the table. And soon after that, I was taking a public speaking class at a local college in New York, and I met a young lady, and we would kind of chat as we walked the hallways after class. And one day I asked her, "What are you doing this weekend?" And she told me, "Well, I'm going to church on Saturday." And I said, "Why Saturday? You're supposed to go to church on Sunday. Why are you going on Saturday?" And she says, "Well, that's the fourth commandment in the Bible." And instantly, I was convicted that I had to study this out. I had to figure out if she was right or wrong. I had to either prove her wrong, or I had to start doing what she was doing. I had to categorize that as either truth or error. And so I started to study. I started to look into the topic, and I had all kinds of objections that I needed to have answered, all kinds of arguments, but I saw from God's word that it's true, that God's commandments are still binding, that his Sabbath day has been trampled on by much of the Christian world, and that, yes, we still need to obey it. But even greater than that, I learned how great a blessing that the Sabbath is. To be able to tell your employer, to tell all the other activities in your life, "Not today. I'm spending today with God." And that's been an incredible blessing, not only for spiritual health, but physical health all around. God knew what he was doing when he gave us the Sabbath day. And I'm so grateful for that. Okay, so back to our questions. We've seen that the Father didn't change the Sabbath. Jesus didn't change the Sabbath. No evidence of either one. What about the apostles? Well, we're going to look at some of their words. Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." And so Paul is saying, no, we're not getting rid of the law. We're establishing the law. And he goes on to say, the Bible, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three," which days? Sabbath days, "he reasoned with them out of the scripture." You know, some sincere Christians, they'll say something to the effect, "Oh yeah, the Sabbath was Old Testament, but we really don't see it in the New Testament." I would respectfully ask them, have you read the New Testament? Because it's all throughout the book of Acts. It's all throughout the New Testament. And by the way, the Lord's day is the Sabbath. The Bible says the Lord, that Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath. Isaiah says the Sabbath of the Lord. All right, so we see it all throughout the New Testament. So here Paul is speaking to the people on the Sabbath. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, now listen to this, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. All right, so we see not only Jews, but also Gentiles, all people, we see a practice of worshiping on the Sabbath day, even after the time of Christ. So what happened? How did we get to where we are today, where we have many sincere Christians? And I want to make this clear, friends. There are sincere, loving Christians that don't understand this topic. I should have said this earlier. So it's not our job to judge their salvation. I was that way, and probably many of you here at some point didn't know this Bible truth. And so we should share it with love, share it with patience, as it is something that can cause a life change and can be shocking to people. So how did this change happen? How did this change of the Sabbath take place? The Bible predicted it in the book of Daniel, speaking of the Antichrist, which we learned about last night, which we identified to be the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, which is a teaching that all of the reformers back in the Protestant Reformation, they taught the same thing. It's not a new teaching. The Bible predicted that that power would think to change times and law. So who thought to make this change? Who thought to make this blasphemous attack on God's holy law? Well, instead of theorizing or guessing, fortunately, the power that made this change openly admits to it, and we are going to look directly at their own writings this morning. This is from Peter Gehrman, and this is actually taken from a very authoritative book of the Catholic Church called the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine. And here we read very plainly, which is the Sabbath day? That's the question. Answer: Saturday is the Sabbath day. So there we have the Catholic Church saying Saturday is the Sabbath. It's very plain from the Bible. There's no doubt about it. But look what they say next. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? That's a very good question. I'd probably ask that too if I was Catholic. Here's the answer. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church in the Council of Laodicea, AD 336, transferred the solemnity, that means the holiness, from Saturday to Sunday. Could it be any plainer than that? It really couldn't. Very clear, verbatim, that the church has made the change, the Catholic Church. And as we look at history, we look at events, that they're absolutely right that they made the change. Now, it was a gradual change. Things had been happening through the years. For example, there was times where both days would be worshiped. But the official change that really transitioned from Saturday to Sunday was done by the Catholic Church. And so, yes, this global power that we discovered last night, a nation that also receives worship as a religious power, was bold enough to make this change to God's law. So as we look at that event, really what was taking place in the Roman Empire at that time, and again, that was 336 AD, you had Emperor Constantine. He had this big empire, and it was filled with all these barbaric tribes that had invaded pagan Rome. And so there was an effort to try to unite the kingdom. But the problem was you had all these pagan tribes, they had idol worship. Many of them worshipped Mithra, which was the sun god. And so Constantine is kind of a very wise facilitator and leader. I would say in some respects he was wise. What he did was he says, let's unite the kingdom. We don't have to get rid of these pagan teachings, such as sun worship or non-mortality of the soul and some of these things. Let's bring them into the church. Let's bring them into the church. And so he said, we will recognize Sunday, the day which the pagans worship the sun god, and that will make that our day of worship. And so it helped unite the kingdom, and it also helped distance the Romans from a group that they really hated, which was the Jews. All right, they wanted to kind of separate themselves from the Jews. So those are some reasons that Constantine made the change, but the change was made. Now, friends, let me ask you a question this morning. Can any human being change God's law? No. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His law is written in stone. And so the title today, it says the change of the Sabbath. The Sabbath hasn't been changed. We're talking about the perceived change, how humans think that it has been changed. Another quote, this is taken from another Catholic publication, a doctrinal catechism, Stephen Keenan, and here we read, it says here, "Have you any other way of proving that the church has power to institute festivals of precept or holy days?" And the answer to that, had she not such power, she cannot have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She cannot have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day, a change, listen to this, a change for which there is, what does it say? No scriptural authority. So the authority, if it's not from Scripture, who is it from? It's from man. It's from the supposed church of God, but God did not authorize the change. The Faith of Our Fathers, another popular book, and we can move on here. And here it says, I'm going to move there. "You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The Scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify." Now, some people may read these quotes, and it may be shocking, but this is taken from their own sources. All right, so some may, that are watching online, maybe some here, this may be shocking, but I encourage you, friends, to go by the Bible. God's truth is always for your best. It's always for your best. It may be startling at first or painful, but God's word always leads to happiness if we accept it. And we've seen this. You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I believe we've seen that one, so we're going to move on. The Catholic Record, another Catholic document, here we read, that deny the authority of the church and you have no adequate or reasonable explanation or justification for the substitution of Sunday for Saturday in the third or the Protestant fourth commandment. The church is above the Bible. You hear that? Is that true, friends? Is the church above the Bible? No way. The church, according to this, is above the Bible. This transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. So we have really some dangerous statements, some false blasphemous statements, but it tells us what happened. So we can be certain that we know who made the change. It wasn't God. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't the apostles, but it was an apostate church, and God predicted that it would happen. And so our role is not only to obey God's word, but to warn others and to teach others the truth about God's law and how it has been trampled on and how we must obey it. And we're going to move forward here. And we're going to, I think we get the idea. There's a multitude of quotes, and this is just scratching the surface, but I think we get the clear idea of what has taken place. I'll read this one as well. If Protestants would follow the Bible, they would worship God on the Sabbath day. And keeping the Sunday, they're following a law of the Catholic Church. Okay. And that was by, I think we have one final one here. And, okay. So, friends, really the question that we have today is, will we follow God or will we follow man? That's really the decision that we have. Will we follow God or man? And so sometimes in our lives, we gain a lot of respect and appreciation for people in our lives. Sometimes it's our family. Sometimes it's a preacher that we look up to. But we must make a decision that we will put God before any other human being. And it could be that that preacher or that family member just doesn't know better. But when we know better, we must do better. And so it's not up to us to follow. It shouldn't be following them. It should be following God. And not only that, but when we make a decision to follow God, we're setting a heavenly example to them. Whether they follow it or not, that's up to them. But we're setting that example that can lead to them being blessed and eventually in God's kingdom. And again, a verse that kind of illustrates that idea is, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So we're responsible for what we know. All right, so again, there's many sincere Christians. I can't emphasize it enough that are following God the best they know. In fact, I have some friends that's really what they've known, and they're still learning about this truth. So we are not to judge them, but to help share the truth with them. And the Bible tells us, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We must put God first. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. All right. And so the decision that we make, I encourage, my hope and prayer is that all of us will follow the words of Peter the Apostle when he says, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's my hope for all of you. And the Bible does warn. God warns about the idea of teaching and following man-made practices above his word. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so God hates this teaching. He hates the idea that many pastors are putting out there that you don't have to obey God's commandments. The Bible despises that. God hates that idea. But friends, we also have to look at the Sabbath not only as a command, something that God requires, but more almost motivating is the blessings that come with keeping the Sabbath. You see, God's laws are not just a test to see if we'll obey him. That's part of it, right? But his laws are not arbitrary, they're for our good. They're for our blessing. And I want to look briefly at some of these blessings that come with keeping God's holy Sabbath. My son, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. And look what it says, for length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. How many of you want those things? Length of life, long life, and peace. I know that I do. And so it's such a blessing to be able to embrace God's law and obey it with his strength. Because remember, we can't do it on our own, but God promises to give us the strength to obey. We're going to look at that in a moment. But listen to this blessing. It's a specific blessing of what we receive when we keep the Sabbath holy. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, look what the blessing we receive as we look on, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So an amazing blessing is promised to the Sabbath keepers that obey God's fourth commandment, the Sabbath. You know, I find it interesting. How many of you have ever heard of blue zones? National Geographic did some studies, and they discovered that certain sections of the world, the people were living longer. And so one of the groups was the Seventh-day Adventists. Particularly in Loma Linda area, they knew that was a spot that had a lot of Adventists. And there's been also more studies. I believe U.S. News and World Report had a study of ways to live a longer life. And both concluded that one of the characteristics that allow Adventists to live 8 to 10 years longer than the rest of the population is because we keep the Sabbath. We have a weekly rest day that God has sanctified and blessed. Of course, our diet and everything else plays an impact, but the Sabbath works. It restores our mind, it restores our body, and it's truly a blessing, and it works. All right. And we have that beautiful promise in Revelation describing God's last day people. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So if you are a Christian today watching or in the congregation and you want to be a part of God's last day people, you will keep his commandments. You will be a Sabbath keeper. And that is the description we read in the Bible. And of course, we have that promise, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. This is in Revelation. And may enter in the gates through the city. It's a description of those that will be saved. They will be those that keep God's commandments. And so the word of God is clear, friends. I'm so grateful for God's holy word that reveals these things to us. So all the changes and events that happen in this world, we can always go back to this as our basis, as our foundation. And it has revealed the truth. It says, but as many as received him. And so the promise is, because some of you may be listening, may be watching, and they say, Lord, I know the truth, but it's so hard to obey it. And I'm so grateful that we are not left alone in this battle against sin. We're not left alone to try to obey God and overcome sin. But friends, we're given all the power and help we need. We accept that power by faith because it comes from God. And he tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he, what does it say? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I'm so grateful for that power because I'll tell you, I'm weak. And I can't obey the Sabbath. I can't obey any of God's laws without that power. I am weak, but what? He is strong. Amen. Amen. So as we look here, again, we've seen that beautiful promise. And friends, I want to share something briefly. You know that same friend that introduced the Sabbath to me? I was convicted. I was convinced. I started to attend a Seventh-day Adventist church. And one day, I was with that same friend. We were going to prayer meeting. And as we were sitting in her vehicle, she looked me straight in the face, and she says, you know you shouldn't be playing basketball on the Sabbath. See, I used to have aspirations of being a pro basketball player. I was actually pretty good in high school, okay? And so I was really into basketball. I had these dreams and goals. And as soon as she said that, it was like my heart dropped to the bottom of my stomach. I was convicted. I was like, man, this is my life. This is everything I've hoped and dreamed for. This is my goal. And so I asked her to leave. You know, I had to spend some time with God. I had to wrestle with God. And with tears pouring down my face, I knew that I had to make a decision. I had to choose something that I loved and God. That was really the choice, God's law or what I wanted. And friends, I'm so grateful that I put my heart and life in God's hands. And I made a decision to give up anything that would dishonor him and choose to follow his law. And now God has given me a whole nother game to play, a whole nother mission of working to save souls for him. And he had something better. But sometimes we don't see ahead. We're short-sighted. We look at the things we love, and we don't want to give them up. But when we say yes, God, he opens up something far greater for us. And so that would be my appeal to all of you. Maybe some watching, this is a new message. You know, some people really have some attachments on the Sabbath day, right? Some people have jobs. They have maybe family members that go to a church that they love on the Sabbath. Maybe they have to provide for their family, and they believe that working on the Sabbath helps with that. But friends, my appeal to you is trust God. God promises he will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It will never be bad for you to obey God's law. Maybe there's going to be some earthly pushback. Maybe people will make fun of you. Maybe you'll even lose that job. But you'll hold on to your eternal life. You'll have that peace of mind to know that you are obeying God. And guess what? God will provide something better. He will bless you. He is the source of all blessings. And so we don't want to cut that off by holding on to dangerous error. And so, friends, that would be my appeal to you, is to take God at His word, to trust Him, and to put your heart in His hands and let Him bring you home. And so, friends, tonight I just want to ask a couple questions to you. Was this a new topic? Anybody here, is this a new topic to you? All right, maybe some online, this was new. Was it clear? Was it clear to you from God's word that the Sabbath has not been changed, that it's still part of God's holy law that will last forever, even through heaven? Raise your hand if that was clear today. Amen. And how many of you watching online and here in the congregation would like to affirm your decision today to say, Lord, I choose to obey your commandments? With your help, let's add that at the end. With your help, I choose to obey your commandments. If that's your decision, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, friends, we're going to invite the singers forward. We're going to have a short song, and then I will pray together with all of you. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that You are our Rock of Ages. And Father, we are so grateful that You have given us a standard of Your character as seen in Your law, a rock that will never be broken. And Father, be our rock today. And I pray, O Lord, that all of these hearing this message either as a reminder or for the first time, that they would put their hope and trust in You, not of the things of this world, and they will realize that You are the rock that will lead us home, dear Lord. I pray that we would all keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In His name, amen. Amen.